of a sweat, you have this spiritual good feeling.
Yeah.
You want to hug your fellow man. So I was hugging these different people. And when I first came out, my son was standing there. I gave him a hug, he's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I went like this, thank you, my son. Thank you for what you... He took part, you know, mm-hmm. he was the doorkeeper. And I walked away. And it was dark, but from the glow of the bonfire, I could see other women and Ann Padilla. And I was, I wanted to be like on my own. I didn't want, experiencing this feeling. So I noticed my son, he's looking at everybody. He's counting heads and he's looking at everybody. They're all around near the bonfire. So when he's looking, Ann goes up to him, medicine woman, and says, what are you looking for, Junior? Mm-hmm. Who are you looking for, Junior? He said, I saw a woman, a beautiful woman, come out after you and my mother. Mm-hmm. And she came up to me and she hugged me. That's the one I'm looking for. And he saw, he knew everybody that was in there, but this was an unfamiliar face to him. So I heard that exchange between him and the woman, the medicine woman, but I didn't, finally somebody announced we all have to go down under the tent. And I finally asked, what time is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we went inside that place 7:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, well, what time? And they said, 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. To me, it appeared I was in there for only 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
The time passed. And then we were all invited to go eat over there. They said, there's hot food. So we went down. I got my blanket around me and my son is following me. He's afraid I'm going to fall. And there's somebody else holding on. I'm wobbly on my feet, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the tent and we're eating. And my son is telling somebody alongside of him, I saw a woman, a beautiful woman. She even hugged me. But she's not here in the crowd. That face, you will not forget it. So we don't, you know. And Ann kept saying, you saw one woman. Yes, one woman. There were two spirits that showed themselves, but he saw one.
Mm-hmm.
But this other woman, who I learned later is has sixth sense, she's the one that saw two people.
Mm-hmm.
And she announced later, one was standing alongside of Rita Jo on her left shoulder here.
Mm-hmm.
And he appeared to be like a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared to be protecting her, or to her. It looked like somebody standing there protecting me, you know. I learned that later. So I said to the woman, was it a man? As two of my brothers were soldiers earlier. She said, no, I could not make out if it was a man or a woman or old or younger. All I know, there was somebody alongside of you. Well, thank you, I said, somebody is protecting me, you know, the spirit world. I was happy about that. So we ate and then I went home with the chief, Brenda Gideon. And I took a quick shower. There were about six of us in her house and other people went to different homes. But I went home with her. I took a quick shower, nightgown, went to bed. Oh God, as soon as I hit that bed, I'm out like a light. Oh, sleep was, oh, never woke up once. And sometimes I wake up when I'm home, two or 3 hours later.
Yeah.
But that night I never woke up. Finally I heard this on a wall. You know, I wake up and I hear something on a wall. And I come out of the room. And I look at my watch. Oh my God, 9 o'clock. And I come and I hear this rubbing on a wall. So I come out of the room. There's a man, he's fixing this wall. That thing that, And he said, when I came out of the room, he said, I never knew there was anybody in the house. So quiet. I said, I didn't either. I just woke up. Mm-hmm. And he knew we had a sweat last night, so he didn't question me. And I, you know, I got ready and took my suitcase and then my little bag of clothes, and then I walked towards the place there, and the chief's brother happened to see me, and he put me in a car. He said, I'll take you over to the where the camp is, where the campground is, or the powwow.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he took me over and said, you better have breakfast. There's a place you go, mm-hmm. and bacon and eggs and all kinds of fruit, and I had breakfast. Then I walked down to the little ways to the powwow grounds, and I felt good. The next day, all day, I was walking like on air. The next day, that good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, and this is a 5-hour sweat.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, on and off, and I kept, once in a while we would meet and she asked me what happened. And the different women, they had these serene expressions on their faces, the ones that spent the time in sweat. All the next day I saw them, they were like contented,
yeah.
Feeling, good feeling, and I felt contented too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is only my second sweat. The other sweat, I may have told you, near Mike's, that was unusual too. I didn't know how to take part in this
mm-hmm.
first one.
Mm-hmm.
So when the door was closed,
mm-hmm.
my hands lifted up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's lifted up in the air, and then it drops.
Mm-hmm.
Left up in the air, it drops.
Mm-hmm.
I was holding it better. And I had the strangest feeling of closing my eyes, I would see like an eagle, the head of the eagle. As far as here, I would see the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times like I felt like that first sweat. Like I heard the eagle flapping up
mm-hmm.
wings,
mm-hmm.
but not seeing it. Huh? And when been good, but that part of lifting my hand and dropping it, it was done so many times that finally I said, "Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're hurting me." I spoke directly to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they left me alone. My hand went like this. They didn't do it anymore. The way I experienced it, I thought to myself, they are educating me. They are showing me that they are there. When I speak to them, they are showing me, when I said, leave me alone, they left
mm-hmm.
me alone. So. It's like an education process. Well, I mean, the first time that I did it, huh? And when I came out that first sweat, it took 2 hours and 45 minutes. When we came out, my clothes were dry, although I was sweating very bad when I was in there. Because when we used to open the door, I would be like this,
mm-hmm.
and you could see it
mm-hmm.
coming down like,
mm-hmm.
My two daughters were in there with me. And they were concerned when I did the first one. But when I came out, my clothes were dry. Because I was asking for my terry towel house coat. And my daughter looked at me. She said, "Mom, you're dry."
Mm-hmm.
And amazement mm-hmm. again. I put a terry towel on anyway. And after hugging people that first time, I walked away from them because I had this feeling I want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I want to enjoy this spiritual feeling I felt all over me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so goodness and everything. And I would look on the ground, and the rocks to me were so beautiful. I wanted to touch them. And I would look at the grass, it was so beautiful. And the trees, there was some glow or something about them. And the people, when I looked at the people, I felt like I wanted to go over and hug that person, comfort that person, that feeling. So I kept, all these feelings I experienced, I just like blended into them, you know. And looking at the trees and the sky and the mountains and mm-hmm. everything, I had the strangest feeling, everything was so beautiful. Oh boy, like heaven on earth, or mm-hmm. I don't know what. And finally, somebody announced we have to go eat because the woman had prepared the food.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to go eat. I was fasting most of that day. But I did just to be polite and I ate a little bit. Finally, I inclined my head to my daughter. I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So I excused myself and she took me home, came in the house, that's like 10 or 15 minutes after the sweat. I said, "My dear daughter, please leave me alone. I want to be alone." Closed, locked both doors.
Mm-hmm.
It was daylight yet, but I wanted to be alone, so she locked the door, she took a shower, nightgown, and I laid down on top of my bed in this beautiful feeling of, I don't know what you would call it, spiritual, beautiful feeling. So I just let go and I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And never woke up for 10 hours. Next morning I was back to my normal self again.
Mm-hmm.
But later I told the women that I was talking to some women. I said, "I'm hooked. I want to do this again." So I was waiting for an opportunity to do it again, and that's when I did it in Restigouche. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
so you know the good feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I told a woman here, Professor Merdina,
mm-hmm.
We were always talking about the spiritual part mm. that one lives. She said, I told her, "You have to experience it in order to talk about it." And she said, "I have yet to do a sweat." And she did one this summer. And I asked her, I asked how it was, and she said it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So she can tell about it now. And I said, all these things about our life at Mi'kmaq, learn about it your own way, pick it up, but try to experience it so you can educate people more about it and,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she says she would do it. She's much younger than I am, so she's teaching that part. And I'm happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of hoping in the Native community here we can get a woman group together, because I'm hoping there'll be a woman here in the community that's like, they call her pipe carrier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no pipe carrier that's a woman yet. Yeah, and there's no We are relearning that part now.
What were the pipe carrier before?
Well, that's the leader, like,
yeah,
like, you know.
No, I mean, were the pipe carrier before Christianization? In,
yes,
in Mi'kmaq?
They were, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, spiritual part. They all encountered before before the Christian. There was a conference one time at Padik, and I was talking to nuns, priests, lay people, and that time I said, to put it down on record, I told them, you cannot sit there and tell me, I'm the native, you cannot sit there and tell me that we did not have spiritual life.
No,
when, before
no.
You came.
I think that Native
yeah.
people have the richest spiritual life that I ever know. And I don't think that Christianity... Well,
I made them cry. I made them cry. The talk I was given that time, about 20, 25 minutes, they came up.
Mm-hmm.
They were hugging me, they were rubbing my hair, they're kissing me, they don't know what to do. Because I told the truth.
Yeah.
And brave enough to tell the truth. There are people that are not brave enough to tell about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That, and me, I look at myself as a speaker for my people.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke the truth and I made them cry. They cannot forget that,
mm-hmm.
that time. And they come
mm-hmm.
up to me from time again. They say, I heard you that time. You're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Much more spiritual than...
Yeah.
And as I said, they knew about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-European.
Yeah.
They knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the dreams they had,
mm-hmm.
the visions, different. The elderly
yeah, so
would be the one.
So if you think of the four directions.
Yeah, and the four directions. I often wondered what that four eight-pointed star, I'm curious about that eight-pointed star.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week, a couple of days ago, I learned from my son
mm-hmm.
that is the back of the turtle.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
design on
yeah.
the back of the turtle
yeah.
is the
eight.
Yeah, so that's one of the
mm-hmm.
explanations.
Mm-hmm.
There are others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's about all I can tell you about Restoosh.
Included,
but they are not. They are not. They're looked overlooked. I'm positive they are being overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I made my way into that literature world slowly.
Yeah.
You know, 14
yeah.
years I've been pushing
yeah.
my books.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
so
imagine I'm making that entry.
Yeah. So you would like to be included and you want others to be included also.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
just like I'm sort of hoping with what I have done, the small thing
mm-hmm.
that I have done, others that are coming behind me,
mm-hmm.
the young people now, and they will be more readily accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a native individual speaking,
mm-hmm.
and this is the person that writing about themselves, writing about how they feel, not about written about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part I'm trying to put into these narrow-mindedness that's in the literary world about
mm-hmm.
the natives. What can they voice, these natives, you know? I don't know what they're thinking,
mm-hmm.
but we have a big voice. The voice is so big, it's carrying through the centuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, me reading about, let's say a long time ago, I read of something that was written a long time ago, they left no word, Aborigine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that made me so angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you told me about
yeah,
that.
So,
yeah.
you know, that's what made me more determined to write mm-hmm. and to point out to them, this is what we did, this is, we left mm-hmm. word. It's on the stone writings, it's on the hieroglyphs, it's
oh,
in
yeah.
the wampum.
Oh, yeah. Mm. What about other minority writers, like black writers and the Asian writers in Canada?
They're in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they are from, they have to be acknowledged where they are. Where they are from, the world over,
mm-hmm.
you know. You have to acknowledge these people that are trying to put forth their voices
mm-hmm.
or, you know, in all different forms.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that they left their pyramids, let's say pyramids,
mm-hmm.
Or the Arctic, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
they left their message there.
Yeah, yeah.
They had written words, but, you know, they're destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But their message is there, they were
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And their lives are shown all over the world, these
yeah.
minorities, these Aborigine.
Yeah.
I speak for the Aborigine. And the message is there. It's just there's no recognition.
Yeah. Do you think there's more of that coming, though?
Oh, yes, it's coming out now. It's
and why is it coming?
Well, we make a lot of noise about it's there, huh? Come on, look at my... just because you do not know how to read my hieroglyphics,
mm-hmm.
don't say I never left word.
Mm-hmm. Since when do you think is there such a marked increase?
Well, this I cannot say exactly what date,
mm-hmm.
but it is slowly into the 21st century, I
mm-hmm.
imagine it's
mm-hmm.
it's making, it's like dawning or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
these waves that
yeah.
come.
Mm-hmm.
They are small, but they can wear down.
Rock the boat.
Erosion, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it can wear down. So that's what is happening, I think.
If you speak to people about native texts or native literature, besides your own text that you introduce them to, are there other texts that you would recommend or would want them to read?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every native individual, every person that's Aboriginal. I'm not only speaking about here,
mm-hmm.
You know, all over the world.
Yeah.
These are the people that are on the lowest rung
yeah.
of the ladder. Listen to them. They have something to offer, you know. It's, I speak for everybody, all over the world, not just here. Mm-hmm. What else you want to ask?
Right on. Those were the questions. I asked you one thing yesterday. This is the sixth question, actually. You know, there was a big debate in Canada and the same in the U.S. also about appropriation, about non-native people using native literature or working on it or using artifacts or stealing stories and so on. How do you feel about that? I mean, we are in this situation right now.
Oh, you can't stop that because people still want Well, the only thing how to beat the system is try to be careful with lending or
mm-hmm.
or letting other people have access to our, you know.
You are very, very open about this,
yeah,
more
I
open
am,
perhaps
yeah.
than other people.
My husband used to scold me, you
mm-hmm.
are sharing your poetry with other writers want my poetry to be included in the book. I would tell him, I am generous with my work because I want this work to be in their book. Maybe my book is not selling as fast as their book would sell. That message will get on to the people that I want them. I want the children to learn what the native is saying. And the only way if it's going to be the native is going to be heard is by the majority who is borrowing my work and then using it as
mm-hmm.
a textbook. Maybe their work is much better than mine, but my work is included in theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe their book will be more readily accepted by the majority,
mm-hmm.
by the bosses or whoever,
yeah.
you know. So if they're more readily accepted, mine will be overlooked, but theirs will be taken, but my work will be in their book.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I told my husband. He was I was blue in the face. I was trying to explain that situation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I, it will be, that will continue to happen for centuries to come, but, you know, the only way we can try to stop it is try to be more careful about our own work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, even writing the songs now, I have to be careful. I have to copyright them.
Yeah.
Each I'm working on another book. Copyright again. Copyright, and that's the only way you can do it. And
yeah.
Well, if I see my work somewhere with another name on the bottom, I recognize it. Boy, I would voice it. I'll make a lot of noise. That's
You'll
my work.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
Too.
So. That's the outspoken part that, you know, I,
mm-hmm.
that's possible. But I don't mind, other people, you know, doing that. They're carrying on my voice.
Yeah.
You know, that's being forwarded into another century. So I am happy about that. Mm, that carrying on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Artists themselves, I guess, whoever
yeah.
is writing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not in a militant attitude myself, but gentle, you know, my gentle war, that has always been my way. But if others come be, you know, after me, if look carefully with what your work is
mm-hmm.
and take good care of it. I began to speak to teenagers now, like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in university. They do such good work in school. You know, they write about the culture or something. And then I said, when you get a good mark, you know, that goes in the garbage. I said, don't let them put it in the garbage. If you get a good mark and the story is good, ask for the paper and put it up in the attic or somewhere. Save that article. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been hollering at them for 2 years. You know, I'm, from my own experiences, I'm trying to set them straight
mm-hmm.
and trying to help them in that order, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a bad experiences on my part, well, I don't want them to have the same expression, you know, just preserve it, save it, voice it, and don't be afraid to voice your concern, but not the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Please put it in a positive text. That's the
you know.
Message I'm putting through.
You know, in teaching students back home, sometimes I take tape like that and play them parts of it or so. And it's very good for them if they can hear the voice of a person who's very far away, comes from a different culture, and teaches them. And is there something that you have sort of students over there, you can't see them, but if you have them in mind that you would like them to hear? Something you would like to say to them?
Well,
famous last words.
Yeah, my culture, the Aborigine, has the low opinion by others. I wish you would think of us more differently, please.
We do.
Yeah. Well, that's the only message that I can put forward to young people.
Well, if you
think
see,
of the native as.
Yeah. If you see this book that we put together with the translations, those translations were done by students.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a feather?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, they spend.
I still have the
they
feather.
Spend.
I cried when I got that feather.
You see, so I think they do learn to treat people with respect.
Yeah, I cried when I got that feather. I showed it to my family and I bawled like a baby. I told them, look, this is what these children, they're young people that sent it to me. You remember, Anne, when I received that feather from Germany?
Yeah.
They even wove it, like tried to fix it. Yeah,
yeah.
And, yeah. I thought, oh, that was such a good gesture from them. Respect I felt, you know. I just bawled.
Good. Well, we were very... That was a good group of students, and one thing, we did something in a German university, you never do that, something like that, wrapping a feather or so. And we didn't know how to do it, so we said, we'll do it any old way, and we brought yarn, and I said, and as you wrap the feather, think with every, think of the person you're doing it for, and the ones that prepared the one for you were the ones also who translated your poetry, right? We had different work groups. It was a good experience.
Oh, it was good. And receiving a feather from another individual, if I gave you a feather, the feeling is, you know what it is, huh? So I received this feather from across the other side of the world. And I, this moved me, and I just thought, oh, these are the students, they're young people, and I don't know what they look like, but they sent something that part of themselves to me, to, oh, it just moved me. You received that poem I wrote about you, did you?
No.
No? Well, let me read it to you. I was going to rewrite it, but I was still looking at it and I was thinking, you know, I say it all, although there's only a few words, huh? From across the continent, the favor came. My story told from the heart received fame. It is because of the man who listened and heard, the bearing of my soul across the age. Realization stirred. I thank the man with my heart, the caring journey of my voice he took part. And if the original comes across, time, the achievement I earned with happiness because of Mr. Lutz.
Oh! No!
You know, I when I wrote it,
did
I
you
was thinking,
actually write that? I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was sitting here, I didn't read it.
Mm.
Oh!
And
wonderful, thank you.
Yeah.
Can I copy that?
Yeah, I sent you a letter. I don't know.
No,
maybe you didn't.
Maybe you didn't send
it. I said, "Dear Mr. Lewis, I received your letter a while back, and thank you for all of the work that you have done."
No, I didn't get that.
The words mean more because you are from another country, and in my heart, the ignorance of my own does not matter if they care or not. You know, I'm talking about this country, but I didn't want to, you know, say the word. I read your words carefully because I am not so well now. The sickness I have seems to cloud the mind at times. It is early morning now, and the birdsong outside my window reflects my wish to your family and you.
You know, I never got that. Look, this is wrapped like for an envelope. Maybe it never got sent.
Maybe I
could
have to mail it.
I never got that.
I even dated it.
May 19th, 1992.
Yeah.
Oh. I never got that.
Oh, the native, I will thank you for that. Take care. I wish you family all happiness.
Oh, I never got that.
Yeah,
I would mad if I got that.
Yeah. Well, take it with you.
Well,
you got
thank
it now.
You. Yes. I didn't. Thank you. I didn't know that.
I was typing away, it was early morning. I wake up 5 or 6 sometime in the morning.
This is the blueprint, right? Or the copy, huh?
Yeah.
Or is this the original?
Yeah, that's why I thought I may have addressed
the
envelope
wrong. I really didn't get it.
Oh. Well, I was wondering why you never mentioned it.
No, I never received that.
So I found it in that box where my papers were. Maybe I forgot to mail it. There are so many things I write. I sometimes put them in an envelope address. If I receive a letter, I will keep it on file, but not answered. I'll write down not answered. When I have time, I answer. And when I answer a letter, I will write down answered.
Yeah.
Or, you know. Oh, there's so many. There's so many throughout the year.
I'm glad actually you showed me this, because you must have wondered why I never said thank you.
Yeah, this is
I never got it. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank
now
you.
Now I'm famous. I framed this.
I wrote a poem about him.
Yeah. Actually, I got two other poems about me. One is by Joe Brucia.
Yeah?
And one by Lance Henson. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'll start an anthology.
All these little poems about you.
But only the nice ones. The ones that say the truth won't be in there.
Well, it's the truth. There's I don't know how to immortalize a person unless through poetry.
Yeah.
I've done it, you know, for other people. But not too many people. Some people that, like Don, when he told me his story, Don C. Down there, she's called. When he told me his story, when I finally met him, he stirred me so much. I looked at this man. He's got all denim jeans, they're faded. And he has all sweatshirt on, and his hair is braided. A little leather tongue on the end, parted in the middle. I look at his face and it's beginning to age, it's in 40s. So I look at this man and I'm thinking, holy Moses, this is a man who saw Jesus. And he looks ordinary. He looks like 1993 ordinary. He doesn't look anything special.
No.
Yeah, and this is a man that had a spiritual, something happened to him, and I had a strong feeling to touch him. When I met him, I touched his shoulder. And I told him, I got this strong feeling, compulsion to touch you. He was kneeling there on one knee, and he said, excuse me. He just came down from the woods, 4 day fast. He said, excuse me. I have to go sing a song to my creator and then go into a sweat. So I followed him outside. There were four men on a drum. And he was singing, this man. And I was looking at him now, and I was thinking, gee, he's just an ordinary 1993 man that's in his 40s. And I was listening to his song, this song that four of them are singing. And the words moved me, and the tears just flowed onto the ground. I was sitting on the ground, and tears were flowing onto the ground. And when I got up, when they were finished, I got up, and they were getting ready to go into the sweat lodge, so I left. But he came later, came into the house, and he hugged us all. He ate a little bit. I said, I know you cannot eat much after 4 days, but I fed him macaroni. I put him in front of him and serve yourself, and coffee. I told her, make her coffee. John is coming.
Make instant. I said, don't make her instant.
Her coffee. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I was in a hurry, but he didn't come till 15 minutes after. He was a chance to cook, and he was eating here. I said, Don, if you ever come to Escasoni, please come to the house each time. I invite you to my home each time you come. But Don, when he comes on a reserve, everybody wants a piece of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in his own reserve, 3,000 people. I asked one woman, do you know Don Edge? She was thinking, yeah. He lives down the road there. I said, do you know a lot about him? Just some. This is a woman on her East Reserve.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, did you know that he experienced a spiritual encounter with Jesus? No. She went like that right away, no.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm not a church-going person, so I don't bother with certain people in the community. I said, don't you know how good that man is?
Mm-hmm.
She said, no.
Mm-hmm.
This is from her reserve.
We got a saying in German, that Prophet gilt nicht im eigenen Land. That means the prophet doesn't count in his own country.
And he's a spiritual leader there. She doesn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could imagine.